stuff out of the way.
Good evening, everybody. When Pastor Mike asked me to speak tonight, I asked him, can I say it in Cebuano? He said, well, it's okay, your English is good. But, so if you don't understand me tonight, just ask either Paul or Brian, they know. So, the subject that I want to talk about tonight is about what's going on nowadays, because I know you're aware of the situation of the world nowadays. You know, from the news, from everything that happens around, you know, it's so discouraging. Sometimes when I look, I watch the news, like, oh, like, lots of corruption here and there, and crimes and wars. You know, it's not only from Washington, but even to the smallest form of government in the jungles of Africa and Asia. You know, it's prevalent everywhere in the world. And as Brother Kevin said just a while ago, that, yeah, the world is like turning upside down now. And that's what I'm going to talk about this evening. The world is deteriorating, really. But if we start to think about the time when God created the world in the beginning, He made this world very good. When, like, during creation, the first day He created the night, and He said it was good. The night and the day, it was good. The second day, He created a firmament. The third day, He created the dry land, the ocean, the trees, and herbs, and He said it was good. Then the fourth day, sun and moon, it was good. And the fifth, the fowls and fish, it was good. And on the sixth day, He created the animals and man. And we look back at His creation. He said, it was very good. And, of course, it's in the story, you know the story, all of you must have known the story already about Adam's fall. I think you have known it since Sunday school, that you have a snake that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, that was the start of the fall of mankind. In fact, one of my friends told me a story that, don't you know that if Adam and Eve were Filipinos, the world will be sinless? I said, what? He said, yeah, the world will be sinless if Adam and Eve were Filipinos. I said, why? They won't eat the fruit. They will eat the snake. So I said, wow, there's a truth to that too. I said, you might be right. So, you know, just garlic and onions and, hey, all those condiments. Well, that was the beginning when man is like deteriorating, and God was like trying to deliver man from this downfall, because in every dispensation we know that God provided like an escape for man, but still man fails. So what happened is God, because He's a righteous God, and He's a merciful God, He has to punish sin, and He has to show mercy. Now, when you are here, when you are here in the few Sundays before, I think Pastor Mike has the detailed study of this in the pulpit. Like, the wrath of God and the mercy of God is, well, were met at the cross, at Calvary. But sometimes when you look at the news, like, oh, it's so depressing. Why should these things happen? So sometimes I question myself, isn't God powerful? Well, of course he is. And why can't he just zap and do everything that Adam did and put us back to the perfect world he created before? But you know, that is against God's nature. He hates sin. But he loves the sinner. That's the common cliche, you know. And he has to punish sin. He cannot go back. And that was done by, I mean, that was provided, the punishment of sin, and his mercy was provided in the cross. So, why are these things happening? Now, sometimes because I've got depressed, and I know that people are depressed too with the news around, and I just want to throw my 2 cents on this. Why are these things are happening, and what we should do? Because, you know, it's really depressing, discouraging, and sometimes we heard something, oh, the economy is going down, I'm losing my job. Scary. But, you know, sometimes when I look back, I mean, the things that I read from the Bible, I don't know how many times I read some fear nuts in the Bible. You know? Sometimes I say, what if? But God answers, fear not, it's I. So I said, wow, there's a promise of the Lord. So this evening I want to share that with you. Why these things happen? Why is it that God don't really undo all these things and just go on and on, like punishing sin? And, you know, the first reason is that these events, the things that happen around us, they are all written already in the book. As Christ said, it is written. I love that phrase, because that phrase was used by the Lord Jesus Christ to rebuke the devil. It is written. Everything that happened in this world are already written. I don't have to give you a verse. Just read the whole book of Revelation and you know where this world is leading to. You know that very well. So, these events are already written. So, if it is written, it cannot be undone. God has to fulfill them. And, of course, during the process, you are also affected by this. We are just human. We are human, and we are being touched by this events that happen around. So, if you go to Luke 21, verse 22. I have to open my Bible. It says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So all these things that are written are to be fulfilled. And of course, as I said, we are being affected by this. We are affected by our economy, the things that happen, like crimes, child abuse, wars. Of course, who's not scared about it, you know? It should be affecting you because you are just a flesh. And also, it is, number two, it is part of our persecution. This event, it affects you. So, say, if you go to 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry, that's 2 Timothy. Go to Philippians 1:29. it says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And there was also, I think, a verse in the Bible that says, "All that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution." Now, is that possible? We are not in the dark ages anymore. We are not the Jesuits are not chasing Christians anymore. They are not hanging people, and they are not burning people in the stakes. So, I don't think there's persecution. You know, because America is a free country. You know, you can do anything. Are you persecuted, really? Do you suffer persecution? But no, these events are part of our persecution. It affects us. You know, if you see sin, if you are really a saved Christian, if you are really saved with the blood, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and it fights. It's fighting against your flesh and against the world and against the devil. So there's a conflict in you. There's a conflict. So that is a form of persecution. I will give you a personal example. I have a personal experience with that. Because when my wife came here, excuse me, it was 20 years ago. She came here to work in the States, and we were left in the Philippines with the kids, you know, my daughters. And we were able to follow here after 7 years. But during the time when I was in the Philippines, and I tell you the truth, I was a drunk. I was nothing. Nothing is good. I just go partying, you know, go drinking everywhere, you know. It's every day, it's good that there's one day that I am not drunk. The whole week, oh, goodness. If you know my life, that was bad. And you know what? I didn't feel any guilt. I was not guilty. Why? Who cares? And so when our petition came after 7 years, and we were approved to follow my wife here on the stage, I was even hesitant to come here and follow. I said, I don't want to go to America. What am I going to do there? I'm happy here. Right? Partying, drinking, happy life. You know? But then I look at my two daughters. I said, oh, man, if we don't go together as a couple, these little kids will, you know. So, okay, we followed after, you know, after 7 years, and first church that I came here, I attended was this church, First Bible Church, and that's the first time I was claiming to be raised like a Christian, I would say a Christian, but I haven't heard about salvation by faith. So when I heard it, by grace are you saved through faith, I said, wow, that's different. Because I think my pastor was just like avoiding that verse before during his preaching. So, to make the long story short, I got saved in this church. And I said, starting from that point on, I had war in me. I didn't quit drinking. I smoked a lot. I was a smoker. I can finish 1.5 pack a day of cigarettes. Drinking, oh man, just say it. I didn't stop, but you know what? Unlike what I felt in the Philippines when I came here, when I got saved, man, something's boiling inside when I do those things. But wow, isn't that good? Before I smoke openly in front of people. When I got saved, I hide in my garage, smoke there. I don't show people anymore. Because you know why? I was guilty. I was like, am I a Christian or a dragon? What's the description of a dragon? Dragon is blowing smoke in his nose. I said, wow. So what happened is that every time I light a cigarette, there's some, I don't know. I don't understand it. Something's going on, I said. So I prayed, Lord, help me. I'll quit. So I tried to quit. Sometimes I quit 3 days and back again. Sometimes I quit a week, back again. So one day I said, I give up. Lord, I can't do it. You can do it. I was even hiding in my garage, smoking like that, but praying. Can you imagine what's wrong with that picture? Smoking and praying. But my tears are flowing down my cheeks, you know. Lord, help me. I can't stop. But then the Lord heard me. He just provided things I don't even know. Because whatever, you know, whatever happened, whatever, like, why I was able to quit, I just didn't know. Because it just took me, like, when a doctor prescribed me a patch, it just took me 15 days. I said, I'm free. No cold turkey, nothing. No cravings, bye-bye. I don't know. I saw people like, yes. Oh, I'm trying to quit, but the quit is like people in the rehabilitation. Oh man, tremble, you know. And all this drinking, you know. I said, when everything was gone, it was just like, why? I saw people in the rehabilitation, you know, this clinic. They were just trembling like that, craving. But for me, I said, wow, Lord, I didn't even fear a single thing. And I'm free. And I praise the Lord for that. And that's what I am trying to tell you, that there is persecution. Now, I know some of us here have their own, like, you know, we have our own habits. You know, I am not said to condemn you, because I am condemnable too, but one thing I can say is that if you just keep asking the God, when Paul said, pray without ceasing, he meant it, because it works. It really works. I prayed while smoking. Pray while smoking, yeah. Every time I light a cigarette, I pray, Lord, get rid of this. I don't know how to get rid of this. Then when he did his thing, it just, bye-bye. And that is what I call persecution. You are persecuted in the flesh. You are persecuted by the world. Persecuted. Some of us, when we got saved, we were persecuted by our families, persecuted by our friends, you know. But, you know, your closest persecution is yourself, because you cannot get away from it. And you can get away from your family, but yourself, oh, man, can't. So, in the Philippines, I give you an example. These people sometimes, they have the wrong notion of what persecution is. There's an island there in the Philippines, the northern island of Luzon. During the Lenten season, they crucified themselves. They carried their own cross. You know, they were whipped while marching to a certain hill somewhere in Luzon. And then they bring this nail. And with the nail, they bring some denatured alcohol. Because before they are being crucified, you have to dip those alcohol those nails first in the alcohol, because they are afraid of tetanus. I said, oh, my God, when he was nailed, I think the nail used there was more rusty than what they are using, you know. He doesn't care about the tetanus or what. He just give it to us. So, yeah, that's what the notion of people in the Philippines, in they have, like, I want to be persecuted, you know, because I am a sinner. But after that, after the Lenten season, oh man, can see them in the street drunk. I'm free. Okay. So, yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, that's the effect of what's going on in the world today. It's part of your persecution. So don't even wonder why it is, because it is written and it's part of persecution. And it's also, the third reason is that they happen to strengthen us. It strengthens us. If you go to Romans 5, verse 3 and 4, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Yeah, it strengthens. How does it strengthen us? For me, these events in the world strengthen me most because I can see that this book is true. What is written is in this book is unfolding before my eyes. So the writer of this book is not a liar. He is true. He is sincere with his creation. He is merciful. And everything that he says in this book are unfolding. You know, so it strengthens me that even if these things happen, this thing happen, wow, doesn't matter. You know why? Because it's written, I am persecuted, and also I am strong now because I know that God is true and sincere with his word. And the fourth reason is that this event they have to happen, you know, in order that the day of Christ or the day of Jesus Christ will come. Because if these events will not happen, Christ will not come. You know, I'm looking forward to that very day that with Christ we will meet him on the air. Man, that's a glorious day. I'm waiting forward to that. And I can say that when that day will come, now all of these events, all of these nonsense happenings in the world will be gone. And you know, because if Christ will not, if these things will not happen, Christ will not come. Remember when Abraham made a deal with God in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 18, and he said, when God told him, I will punish Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, Lord, if there are 50 that are righteous, are you still going to punish this place? He said, no, for the sake of 50, how about 40, 30, 20, 10? That means that if there are still good things in this world, God or Jesus Christ will not come. And I am very expectant of him. So it encouraged me that these things will happen, though they are bad, but I know that there is good that will happen in the future. Christ will come. Because if you go to Romans 3, verse 10, Romans 3, verse 10 and 11 to 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So it is written, and Christ will come. And that day, which the Bible calls the day of Christ, will come. And that phrase, day of Christ, or the day of Jesus Christ, can be found is found about four times in the Bible. Three times in the book of Philippians, and one in the book of Thessalonians. This is one of those four that appears in the Bible. And the first three, they are like an inspiration to a Christian. And the last is a warning to the Christian. If we go there, go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the next verse is the same chapter, but in verse number 10. It says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And the third verse is on Philippians, in Philippians 2, verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, if you analyze these three verses, see, God began a good work in you in verse 6. He began a good work in you, and He will perform it until the day of Christ. In verse number 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. You know, during the process of your waiting for the day of Christ, you are guided by this good things that God made in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the last verse, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So the end product of that will be rejoicing. The rejoicing when Christ is come, you know. He will come and we will be rejoicing. See, it's if you look at it this way, man was fallen, and by the work of Christ, he improves. But the world was made beautiful, and it deteriorated. You know, the world and the Christian is like that. Different direction. You know? So, what a wonderful God we have. You know? And also, you know, we know that the world is rotting. It's rotting. And, you know, take a comparison of the compost. The compost, they are rotten materials, but they are used as fertilizers for the plant to grow. Now, this rotting world, as it rots, strengthens us, gives us encouragement. See, it fertilizes us, and it gives us growth as a Christian. So this is a rotten world that will be a compost to our growth. And we will be waiting for that day when Jesus Christ will come and claim us. And the last verse I want to read here is that I found in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Okay. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let us be comforted with these words, because if we are not, you know, if we just neglect the reading of these words and just look at the world, you know, we will also go down with the world. But having these words of God in front of us that we could easily read, you know, it's a comfort. So it's an encouragement to every Christian. It's not that we just encourage ourselves, but we have to encourage our brothers and sisters about these words. These words are very encouraging to me. Whenever I am depressed, I say, the day of Christ is coming. Doesn't matter. So, praise the Lord. He is good. And he is good. Thank you.
Amen. That was good. It's always good when you open up God's word. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. All right, we're just going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Is that a blessing for you tonight?
Yes,
that was a great analogy. This world.